Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download The Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
The following is an actor portrayal.
With Kindley Assisted Living and Memory Care at Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County, you can anticipate more. But don't take our word for it.
My dad moved to Kindley and loved it. His apartment was spacious, sunny, and overlooked Parkland. It was a great comfort to me to see him always smiling and involved in the life at Kindley.
Enjoy quality on-site nursing and rehab services, too. Visit KindleyAtAsbury.org today. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Welcome to the Fandrax Toolshed. If you love Dynasty Leagues and prospects, you came to the right place, because that's what this show is all about. Covering the majors and all levels of the minor leagues to give you the leg up in your Dynasty Leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, Fantasy Baseball Fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 64 of the Fantrax Tool Show with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun Dynasty debate in store for you all today. And with me, as usual, is Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what is up, man?
Oh, not too much. Just another fun day to talk about some baseball, some Dynasty. It's always a good day, so I'm looking forward to that. Going to have some good talks tonight. Several good players we're going to discuss, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, on this one, we did our first Dynasty debate last episode, episode 63, so go check that out if you missed it. That was between Julio Rodriguez and Bobby Witt Jr., our current number one overall prospects in our respective prospect fantasy rankings. So I figured we'd go over to the other rankings that we do, our Dynasty rankings, and debate, hey, who's number one over there? Might as well start at the top over there as well, and
it's more than just two players. Like regarding, you know, wherever you look, there's, you can find as many as four different players that are number one overall right now, depending on who you look at. So we figured we'd debate all four of these guys. Those being, of course, Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., three juniors, and then Juan Soto. If he ever had a Juan Soto Jr., he'd probably be in the discussion as well. I think he is a kid. Does he have a kid? I think he does. I got to find that out. I should know this. I should know everything about Juan Soto. I'm like the biggest Juan Soto guy out there. But if he had a kid, Juan Soto Jr. would be in this discussion as well, or 20 years down the road if we're still doing this podcast then. So this is going to be another fun debate. But before we get into all that, the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricRoss04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both of us. And, of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our other podcasts, SB Streamer, Fantasy Hockey Life, Fantasy Football Addicts, Define Fantasy Football, and Fantasy Football POV. Let's get right into it now. This is a slightly different debate than last week because obviously we have four players here, and it kind of depends on, you know, if it's an average league or an OBP league. That definitely plays into who the number one player is here. Let's start with average here. Chris, who do you think is the number one dynasty player right now? Get dynasty startup draft right now, standard 5x5 with average as a category. Who would you take number one?
I think I've got to go Fernando Tatis Jr. here. Like I said, these are all really close, and my answer would be different for OBP, which I think we'll talk about for sure. But if I have the number one pick in a average league, I'm going to lean Tatis for several reasons. Yeah, I mean, the average isn't the most enticing. Like, he's not going to hit 300. He's had a 292 career average over 1175 plate appearances, which is pretty good. But over the last two seasons, 277, 282, which will play. But I'm going for more of the standpoint of the counting stats that he provides with the power and the speed. Yeah, I mean, he did miss some time this year. He played just 130 games. But over 130 games, he had 42 home runs and stole 25 bases. No player in baseball can really do that. I mean, Acuna might could. He's next closest to push that. But the power speed here is absolutely incredible. Steamer projects him 46 home runs, 26 stolen bags next year, and a 281 average. And it's worth mentioning that he is just 22 years old. He will turn 23 before the next season starts. But again, all these guys we're going to talk about are young. Tatis doing what he's doing at his age is highly impressive. Remember, he made his debut at 20 years old, proceeded to hit 22 home runs and steal 16 bags over 84 games, and he hit 317. Pretty dang impressive for a 20-year-old at the big league level. Strikeouts are a slight concern, but he's gotten away with it, and he's still producing that at a high level. The biggest concern I think I have with Tatis is probably the shoulder. He did decide to forego shoulder surgery this offseason. He's going to play through it and says he's going to be okay in the spring, so we'll see how that goes. That'll definitely be interesting. But, yeah, I think that for me in an average league, I would go Tatis here in the first spot.
Let me ask you real quick, because I just literally just saw this question proposed to us in our Discord, which is one of the perks you get when you sign up for our Patreon. Fun little Discord community we got going on there. Someone asked, how concerned are we about Tatis' shoulder? Like, scale, put it on scale 1 to 10. How concerned are you? I'd say I'm about maybe a 4 or 5.
Yeah, I was going to say 5. I think that there's reasons to be concerned, and there's reason not to be concerned. I mean, you would think he has to have consulted a ton of professional like opinions, and if he's not getting it, then you have to think that that's what people think's best for him, and obviously he thinks what's best for himself. He was still performing at a high level when he came back last year and was doing that two-handed finish. I don't know. I think he'll be fine, and hopefully it won't linger, but I'd say probably a 5. I think it could go either way, but right now I'm kind of in the middle on it.
Yeah, no, same here. I would really, really hate for this to turn into like another Byron Buxton situation where he's just like always showing the talent but never on the field. That would just be a damn shame because, as you mentioned, he's 22 years old. The four guys we're talking about right now, Tatis and Vladdy are 22, Soto and Acuna are 23. This is ridiculous that we're already having this discussion about these types of guys at this young of an age, and they're already producing the way they're producing. You know, elite numbers, like Hall of Fame trajectory already. This is just crazy that we have this type of, you know, core, like the faces of, wait, people talk about, oh, who's the face of baseball? Like, we don't have one face. There's like five faces. Like, it's like these four, and then throw in Shohei Ohtani as well. Like, and I think you could still put Mike Trout there. That's great. It's, you got a little bit of everybody, some old, some young, some new. It's like, this is a great spot for baseball. But getting back to the debate here, for average, I do agree. You know, it's him or it's Tatis or Acuna. They're almost cut from the same cloth. It's like they are very, very similar players, athletes in general. Obviously, huge power, huge speed. Both have a little bit of an injury concern right now. Obviously, Tatis with the shoulder. Acuna with coming back from that torn ACL he suffered last July. So a lot of similarities between these two. You look at, you know, Savant pages are just littered in red. You know, 96 percentile sprint speed for Tatis, 98 percentile exit velocity. Like, to be like that high in both quality of contact metrics and speed metrics is just silly. And both of these got, you know, Acuna's there as well, right there with him. So and they both have a little bit of a strikeout issue, you know, not like anything overly concerning, but they're not like Juan Soto out there. Now, Soto, if you want just like the safest guy out there, not saying Acuna or Tatis are risky or have a lower floor or anything like that, but Soto is just like the safe, you know, safe selection here. But I'll go Tatis, and the reason why I go lean him over Acuna is that, you know, Tatis, at least for now, has shortstop and outfield eligibility, little added bonus there, the dual eligibility, as opposed to Acuna's just straight up outfield. So I will go Tatis as well, but again, can't really go wrong. Like, I would love to have like the third pick in this, in a startup dynasty. I would much rather have the third pick than the first or second, just so I can see who falls to me, so I don't have to make this decision, which kind of leads me to the next thing I was going to say. The only one that I'm not really considering for number one overall is Vladdy. Obviously, Vladdy is a phenomenal hitter. He's probably going to have, you know, be a 500 home run club type of guy. He had 48 last year's elite raw power, but doesn't bring the speed at all. And at least with Soto, you get like, I don't know, 10, 12, something like that, plus everything else Soto does. And Vladdy, even though he's an elite four category guy, I just don't see him ever getting up to that number one. I think where he's at now, like that 4 to 5 range overall, maybe if you want to throw Bo ahead of him or like a Trey Turner or someone like that, fine. But I think right now, I think that's where he's going to settle in. You know, number five, give or take, with his elite four category. Kind of like where Arenado settled in years ago when he was at his peak. I can see that with Vladdy, but even a little more power than Arenado showed. So I just can't make a case for Vladdy, number one, in either average or OBP. Would you agree with that, or do you have different thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that it would take Vlad doing what he did last year for the next couple of years to consider him one without the speed. So if he consistently hits 45 to 50 home runs and with a 300 plus average, then maybe he gets in that conversation. But I do think the speed element pushes him down a little bit because speed's so important. And, you know, you're getting a ton of speed with Tatis and Acuna at the top from a stolen base standpoint. And I'll go ahead and put it out there. I'm not really worried about Acuna's stolen base totals going down after this injury because literally his leg is going to be stronger than ever. So from that standpoint, I do think it may take him some time to get confident, I guess, to build up to that, the stealing bases again. But I do, long-term, I'm not worried about it at all. Remember, he is just 23. He'll be 24 for next season. So he's not slowing down anytime soon. You mentioned Soto. He's going to chip in some steals. But yeah, from an OBP standpoint, I do think it's pretty easy to take Soto at number one. I think that's the only choice and the only option that you can take there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then another quick point on Vladdy here. Like, this isn't the same, like, this isn't the same baseball and fantasy baseball landscape as it was, you know, 12 to 15 years ago when on a lot of lists, it was like out, or basically back when I started my home keeper league, it was like, all right, you got Pujols is number one. Like, he was number one for a good 5, 6, 7 years. Without bringing, yeah, he brought a little speed a few years where he was double digits, but he was not a big speed guy. This is a different landscape nowadays where speed is valued much more highly than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So, yeah, definitely factors in a lot more now than it used to. So maybe Vladdy could have had a case. You know, if you plot Vladdy decade, 15 years ago, maybe he'd have a case for number one back then, but yeah, definitely not now. And then OBP, yeah, it's Juan Soto. Like, Soto is the only player in baseball right now that if you told me, like, all right, over the next 20 years, one player is going to have a 500 OBP season, I would say Juan Soto. He's already almost done it. Like, last 2 years, he's had OBP north of 460. He's already flirting with it. He was over 500 OBP for the second half of the season. It wouldn't surprise me if he threw together like a full season like he had in the second half of this past year. He's just such a good hitter. Look at the strikeout weight, like the walk rate being a good 8% higher than the K rate. You just don't see that anymore. We really haven't seen it since the days of like Barry Bonds and that infamous 2004 year where he had like 230 walks to 40 strikeouts or something insane like that. So just the OBP is so damn good where his OBP is probably going to be annually, well, you figure at least 60 to 80 points higher than Tatis and Acuna. And I think in OBP formats, that is enough to make up for, you know, the extra 10 home runs or so that they'll bring, 10 to 15 home runs, and then the extra 10 to 15 steals as well. So plus he's, you know, elite runs, elite RBI. Well, hopefully they'll put some guys around him better than what they had second half of the year. But yeah, I think OBP, you got to go Soto. It's that OBP floor. What's his OBP floor? Like 425?
Yeah, like, I would think so.
Like, even when he was like, you know, having a, you know, a quote unquote down first half of the year, it was still, he had like a 420 OBP. Like, that's his floor. It's crazy.
Yeah. Here's his month by month breakdown. March and April, 410, May, 387, ooh, June, 407, July, 487, August, 505, September, October, 545. So that's just absolutely nuts. Second half OBP was 525.
It's so ridiculous. Like,
he had a 27% walk rate to a 12.7% strikeout rate in the second half.
And yeah, you could attribute a little bit of that to the fact that there was like nobody behind him. It was like, what, Josh Bell and Carter Kieboom and Zimmerman and any other of the guys that they picked up off the scrap heap behind him. So yeah, I'd probably walk Juan Soto as well. But man, pitchers just don't want to pitch this guy. It's like, no, you look at his zone charts. There's like no weakness. What's his weakness? Like, oh, he might hit 250 in this little zone up here. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no like zone where he's like, oh, he's only 160 there. You can go attack him up and in, yeah, or down and away. There's no weakness in Juan Soto's game, like, at all. And like, yeah, when you compare him to the other two, yeah, he doesn't have the 50 homer, 30 steal upside that Acuna and Tatis do, but man, in OBP formats, it'd be hard for me to pass a number one on a guy that can post, literally could post a 500 OBP. Yeah. Yeah. It sucked to pass on the big power speed guys. Those are always the flashier, you know, picks, but Soto's going to be the guy.
Yeah. I mean, he literally carries your team in OBP. If it's the OBP format, like, he gives you such a boost, like, you don't really have to worry about high OBP guys the rest of the way. I mean, you should, but that's just how much he separates himself. And I will say, I do think Acuna slots second for both for average and OBP. He improved his plate discipline significantly in 2020. And the last 2 years posted a 406 and 394 OBP. Tatis is settling in around the 365 range. Yeah. So Acuna is definitely a nice boost there. And even though Vlad posted a 401 OBP this year, again, the power speed element that Acuna gives is enough to push him up there. So I think that it's Tatis at one in an average league. It's Soto at one in an OBP league. Acuna at two in both formats. And then after that, you can kind of debate, you know, what you want. But would Vlad be fourth for you in both formats?
He would. Yeah. And that's no knock to Vlad. I'm sure people will take it as a knock to Vlad. That's no knock to Vlad. It's really not. We're saying nice things about him, just the fact that he just doesn't bring speed to the table. And I think that's the deciding factor here. Like, you know, you can make a case that he's close to Soto in average leagues. Sure, because, you know, I think they'll hit for around the same average, give or take, every year. At least be in the general vicinity of each other. And then obviously, you know, the more power to Vladdy, more speed to Soto. Counting stats are probably pretty similar. So I think you can make a case that Vlad might be close to him, to Soto, for third in the average leagues. But then again, it's no contest. And I don't think he's touching either of the power speed guys, Acuna and Tatis. And yeah, I agree with you. I have the exact same. I know, it's, like I said, some of these debates, we're not going to disagree. We'll agree on some. We'll disagree, like we disagreed last week a little bit. But like this week, we definitely agree on both average and OBP, the 1-4 ordering. Yeah, Acuna's walk rates the last 2 years, 18.8% in 2020, 13.6% in 2021. And then Tatis, still pretty good, 10.5 and 11.4. But yeah, the extra walk rate that Acuna brings to the table puts him at, ahead of him in OBP for me. Let's add a nice little wrinkle to this, Chris, that we didn't even talk about. I'm just going to go on the fly here. Outside of this top four, if you had to pick, pick two guys that could vault up into this tier this year, who would you pick?
I get my
two.
Yeah, I would say Bo.
Yep.
Bo's I'm one. Assuming Bo would be in yours because I think, I mean, you just look at the body of work that OBP, I would say no.
But, yeah, agreed.
But a batting average, I think he's going to be a consistent near 300 batting average type. And you saw what he did this year, 29 home runs, 25 steals. Even if he's like 25-20 annually, like that's enough, in my opinion, to push him pretty close to that with a 300 average. After that, I think you're going to say this guy. And so I kind of want to avoid him. I'm going to say Luis Robert.
Nope.
Is that who you – okay, nice.
No. I was actually going to say – I was actually going to add another wrinkle to this to say
– yeah.
Let's pick another one outside of our top 10. So, no, my two are Bo Bichette, Kyle Tucker. I think Tucker could definitely get up in there. I think Tucker's got 40-20 upside. I think he can be like 90 to 95% of what Tatis and Acuna are. I don't think he can get quite to that level that they put out there, but I think he can get pretty the excess. I think he literally has 40-20 upside. So yeah, Bo, obviously Bo's all-around guy. He's not a guy that lights up the Savant page with bright red, but this is a guy that has legit 30-30 upside, hitting in the middle of a very potent Toronto order. So he's just a five-category stud out there at shortstop. So those would be my two. And I think Luis Robert could as well. Obviously, a bit more risk in that profile, though, as we've talked about on this podcast and in articles, the approach and the contact rates all greatly improved in 2021. Let's hope that can carry over moving forward because he is, I think, has one of the five highest ceilings for fantasy in this game. Like, I think he could get up there, but what did I say? A little more risk there, but I think he could as well. Another just quick thing before we end this debate here. Let's look at some of the top prospects here. Do you think that either, like our top two guys that we added talked about last episode here, Witt and J-Rod, and then we'll add in Wander. Witt, J-Rod, and Wander. Do you think any of these three someday could get up to this level that we're talking about now?
Probably. I actually would say Wander is the lowest chance. I think the
agreed.
Wander's the highest floor by far. But I think that the ceiling is not that high. I don't really see the power, and I don't know how much he runs in Tampa Bay, which is interesting. I mean, we know he's going to be a lock to hit for a super high average.
Yeah, probably win. If he doesn't win like two or three batting titles, I'd be disappointed at this point.
Yeah, I think we'd be surprised at that. So I think that Witt's power speed element's higher, but I think, as I talked about last time, I think J-Rod's drive to just be elite gives him that shot because, as I said, I think J-Rod can hit 300 with Vlad power and also steal 20 bases, which, if Vlad did that, if Vlad stole 20 bases this year, I think there'd be no question he would be number one right now.
Yeah, so, agreed. Yep. Yeah. So let's put it quickly in percentages. I'll say like the percent chance they reach this level we're talking about with these four right now. I'll go Witt. Then slightly down to J-Rod and then slightly down to Wander. I agree, Wander probably the lowest percent chance. He might be the best real-life player of these three long-term. I think that's definitely fair to say. But like you mentioned, I think there's a path to where Wander does get to like 30 home runs, but I don't know if it's ever going to be more than that. I think maybe he sells him as like a 20, mid-20s type of guy. Steals, who knows? Like I think he could be a 15 to 20 steal guy, but like you said, how much does he run down there in Tampa Bay? We'll see on that one. Maybe he's only a 10 to 12 steal guy. Who knows? But yeah, I think he has the lowest percent chance. I'd go Witt highest, slightly above J-Rod, and then Wander three there. Well, this was a fun little debate, huh?
Yeah, that was good. I think there's a lot of good talk there. good for if you have a dynasty draft coming up, which way to go. I hope this hope you find this helpful for that.
Yeah, there's always new dynasty drafts starting up every winter. Half of them by our podcast producer, Nathan Longfield. That's where he runs like half the fantasy leagues in the world now, or he's getting close to it if he's not at that halfway mark. But that's going to wrap us up. Thanks, everyone, for listening again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at FantraxHQ.com or over on our Patreon. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
Montgomery County, Maryland is where businesses go to be next. Home to a highly skilled, diverse workforce, a thriving business community, competitive incentives, and more. MoCo will help transform your business. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com to see how we can help you be next.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.